Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin today's shiur, let us note that the opening perek deals with the issue of settling a financial dispute between two parties. You will notice at the bottom of our Daf Beis Omid Aleph marked Gemara, we've included a piece of information that was copied from the Me'oros Daf Hayomi publication, which introduces six different types of financial dispute and how they are resolved. So you'll notice, and we'll read this together for general information purposes. The information, the copied information at the bottom of Daf Beis Omid Aleph, and the title is Shnayim Ochsim Betalis B'Mishnosenu Mivuar. In our Mishnah, it's explained Ki Shnei Anoshim Ochsim B'Shulei Talis. Two people, each one holding onto the edges of a particular garment, a talis. V'Chol Echad Toyen Ki Hu Motza V'Shelo I. And each one claims that he found it and that it is his. Yachloku b'nehem b'shvua. They will divide the article between the two of them after taking an oath. Hachras yachloku eino nifsekes b'chol mikre bo shnei anoshim ton balis al chevetz musyom. The decision of splitting something is not the method of resolving difficulties or controversies on all occasions. And on a practical level, you'll find in the Gemara and the legal decisors that there are six different cases of financial claim. Aleph, kasher odom toyim lebailus al chefetz shemuchsuk bidei chavero. When a person lays claim to an item held by someone else, ein nizkokin l'tainas hateveya, we don't heed or act in accordance with the claim of the one placing the claim. Mishum shamoitzi mechaber olav araya. If you want to extract something from the possession of someone else, it is upon you to bring the proof. As long as the one laying claim doesn't bring clear proof to justify his claim, the item remains in the hands of he who is currently in possession of it. Beis, a second situation. Kasher shnei anoshim nitzim al chefetz shehufkad al yedei echod mehem bidei odom shlishi. Two people are arguing over ownership of an item that has been entrusted into the possession of a third party. And neither one of the two parties laying claim to the item has a solid claim or proof to justify his position. We leave the item in question in the hands of that third party, Ad Shiovo Elio, until the prophet Elijah comes and settles the matter. Gimel, Kasher Chefetz Einoi Munach Bideim Vlo Bidei Acher. The item in question, the controversial item, is not in the hands of the two parties, nor in the hands of a third party. Poiskim, we then rule Kol Da'olam Govar. That's the expression you see in the Gemara, Klomar, and now that means to say, Ni mehem shiyadu tigvar al chavero v'yatzlich lechoiz baneches, he who gains the upper hand in taking possession of that item, yado al helyoino, so he has the upper hand. Dalit, kasher lebeisdin boru lechalutin ki echod hatstode meshaker. When you have a situation that it's clear to the court that one of the two sides is lying, v'achefetz eino musuk bidei echod hatzdodim, and the item is not in the hands of either of the parties, uboror ki le'olam lo yuchal echod min hatovim lahavi rayas loisofos letzidkas tanoso, and it's clear that one of the parties will never be able to bring proofs to justify his claim. Machriim hadayonim b'netias libam. The judges then will decide based on their own internal thinking. V'noistim es achefetz le'echod min astodim shinira lohem kiyashar. And then the item will be granted to the one side that appears to be just. Hogun v'doiver emes, proper and a speaker of the truth. Hey. Kasher havikuach bein hatzdonim eino machmas tanosem. A situation that arises, a disagreement that arises, that is not a function of their claims. Elo hamikra atzmoi me'or sofik b'lev ka'odam. Rather, the situation on based on objective observation creates a doubt, and that's referred to by the term droro de mamona. That's an expression you see in the Gemara Kagon. Adam shemochar poro lechavero, a man sold a pregnant cow to his friend. V'hapora himlita, and the cow gave birth. Ach ein hoychocha im himlita lifnei hamechira, v'avlad shayach lemocher. However, it's unclear whether the birth took place before the transaction was completed, and the calf will belong to the original owner. O shemlita la'achar hamechira. Or the birth took place after the actual sale, the havlad shayich lalokeach, and then the calf is in the ownership of the purchaser. Nechliku chachomim v'sumchus. You'll see a disagreement in the Gemara between the opinion of the rabbis and sumchus. And six vov kasher shnayim oichsim betalis. Two people are holding on to the talis, v'chol echod mehem toyen ki shelohi, and each party is claiming that it is theirs. Mevuar b'mishnasenu, it's explained in our Mishnah, shiachloku es hamomon b'shua, that the item is divided between the two, contingent on each one swearing an oath. Now, we turn to our Gemara, and before we go into the actual text, we glance at the side in the margin where we have our Nosei / Mivneh heading. Nosei, the topic heading, Mivneh, structural note, and here we combine the two into one. The first marking that you'll notice in the Mishnah is a diamond highlighting the word Zeh. Hadgosha, this highlighting, Litzurch Hemshech HaGemara, will be necessary when we get into the Gemara later. The double underline highlights Hatainus Shel Shnayim Shemizvachim Al Bailus Al Porid Echod, claims of each party that are arguing over ownership of a particular item. And the items featured in our Mishnah, you'll see under Roman numeral number 1, Talis, and later in the Mishnah, Roman numeral number 2, ownership over an animal, a behema. We turn to the Mishnah, realizing that the Gemara will spend a considerable amount of time analyzing the first couple lines of the Mishnah. So, for our purposes, we'll read the Mishnah, providing a fairly simple translation, leaving the analysis to the Gemara. The Mishnah, Shnayim Oichsin Betalis. Two are holding onto this garment, referred to as the Talis. Ze Oimer Ani Mitzosia. This one claims, I found it. V'zeh omer ani mitzosia. And the other party claims, I found it. Ze Omer Kula Shili, this one says it is all mine. Ve'ze Omer Kula Shili, and the other party says it is all mine. Ze Yishava She'ein Lo Bo Pachos Mechetzya, this one swears that I don't have in it a holding of anything less than a half. Ve'ze Yishava She'ein Lo Bo Pachos Mechetzya, and the other party swears I don't have in it any less than a half. Viachloku, and it's divided. Ze oimer kula sheli, veze oimer chetzya sheli. One claims it is all mine. The other claims half of it is mine. Now, in saying half of it is mine, he is acknowledging that the other half is the other party's. He's conceding to that. He's saying only half is mine. Ha'oimer kula sheli shova she'ein lo bo pachos mishlosha chalokim. He who is claiming it is all mine swears that I have no less than 3/4 possession of it. Ve'oimer chetzio sheli, and he who claims that half is his, yishova she'ein lo bo pachos mirvia, that I have a holding in it that amounts to no less than 1/4. Ze noitel shloisha chalokim, veze noitel revia. This one will take 3/4, and the other will take 1/4. Let us take a look at the Rashi that you'll find on the fifth narrow line of the Rashi commentary. Ze vezeomer chetzi sheli. Moide hu, he concedes shechatzi shechavero, that the other half belongs to his friend. The ein donin elo al chetzya, their argument, their disagreement, is focused on only one half of the item. Hilkach ze ha'oimer kula sheli, he who claims the entire is his, ishava, he'll swear, as we saw, he'll swear that I have no less than 3/4 holding in it. Kemishpat HaRishon, similar to the beginning of the Mishnah, Ma Shehein Donin Olov Nishboin Shnehem, the common denominator between the beginning, the first case of the Mishnah, and this case, is that that which they are arguing over, Nishboin Shneim, they both swear She'ein L'chol Echad Boi Pochos Mechetzio, that they have no less than, they'll each one swears that they have no less than half of it. V'noitel Kol Echad Chetzio. So that in this second case, the argument is over only one half of the talis. So the person who was claiming that he has an ownership of half, the swearing is going to be that he has no less than 1/4 in it. That's similar to the beginning of the Mishnah where each one swore that he has no less than a half in it. There they were arguing over the whole talis. Here, the initial argument is over only one half of the talis. So the party claiming that he owned a half of it will swear that he has no less than 1/4 of it. That quarter represents a half of the item that he is laying claim to. The other party, who claimed he owns the whole thing, well, right off the top, 50% was not part of the disagreement. So he is going to be swearing that he has a holding in this talus of no less than 3/4 of it. Let us continue in the Mishnah. Hoyu shnayim roichvim agabi behema. There were two that were sitting upon a behema, sitting a straddle upon a behema. Roichvim oftentimes is translated as both were riding upon the animal. Oy shehoyo echod roichev veechod manig. Or a case where one was sitting atop the animal, a straddle the animal, and the other one was manhig. Manhig is an expression meaning he was leading the animal. Ze oimer kulo sheli, ve ze oimer kulo sheli. each one was claiming that the entire animal is his alone. Ze yishava she'ein lo bo pochos mechetzya, ve'ze yishava she'ein lo bo pochos mechetzya. Each party will swear that they have no less than one half holding in it, v'yachloku, and the animal is divided. Rashi foreshadows the Gemara and anticipates everyone asking, what do I need this additional case for? It would appear to be just a repetition of the opening case of the Mishnah. So Rashi says, Hoyushayet Shnayim Roichvim, Lashmi'inin, it is here to inform us, also, it is coming to inform us, the Roichev Umanik Shnayim Shovin Liknois Behemo Minahevger. These two actions, if you will, or positions, one roichev, one riding upon it, the other one leading the animal, are equal in their powers of acquiring an animal from a state of hefker. Hefker means that which is unclaimed, unowned. We continue in the Mishnah. Bizman Shehem Moidim. In a situation where they concede. Oy shiyesh lohen edim, or there are witnesses, chilkin b'loy shvor, then division will take place even without an oath. Rashi here says, bizman shein moedim b'gemorah b'forish, in the Gemara on Daf Chesed will be explained, to Baha'i, this section of the Mishnah, ashme'inin, we are informing, da'amagbiya mitzio l'chavero, kono chavero. Now that's an expression that we'll have to wait to see much more detail in the Gemara. But here it will translate. In the meantime, we are learning from this section of the Mishnah, and we're not right now explaining how you see that in the words. But the principle that's being conveyed over here is that if I pick up a lost article or a found item. On behalf of my friend, something that, we'll say, currently appears to be unowned, I pick it up on behalf of my friend, that party, that second party, acquires it. That idea is not so obvious. We need to be told that information. And we'll just have to wait till we get to that in the Gemara itself. On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, which reads, Biur Loshon HaMishnah, the clarification of the language of the Mishnah, of the Mishnah text, Lama Kotani Tarti. Why, in the opening of the Mishnah, do we see two claims, two different types of claims? The geometric forms that we will see very shortly include a triangle, and that highlights the word lisni. Let it state. These are hatsois, suggestions, lulishenis chilufiois, for alternative expressions. And the house marking that you'll see are tshuvos, are responses, lahasbir, to explain filus loshen shatana, same shalatainen b'mishnah, the double expression of each one's claims in the Mishnah. We want to justify the Mishnah's presenting their each one's claims in a double fashion, meaning each one says, I found it and it's all mine. To get an overview structurally of the Gemara, if you look in the Gemara itself, you'll see, do you notice where a house marking appears? We've labeled it number one, and then when you get down to the bottom line, you'll notice there's Rav Simi Bar Ashi is featured with a house marking. That's number two, a second approach in explaining the double expression in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara. Loma li lemisna, why was it necessary to teach ze oimer ani mitzosia v'ze oimer ani mitzosia? Ze oimer kulo sheli v'ze oimer kulo sheli. Lisni chada. We have little numbers in the Gemara text. The first one is where each one claims, I found it. The second one is, each one claims, it is all mine. Let one be taught. Lisni chada means let just one be taught. The Gemara will Answer, in fact, chad or katani. There aren't two separate claims. There's only one, each party is saying as follows. Ze oimer ani mitzosia v'kula sheli. It's one claim. I found it and it's all mine. Ve'ze oimer ani mitzosia v'kula sheli. The other one says, I found it and it's all mine. It's not like we thought that there were two separate claims each one was making. You'll notice we have a bracketed section. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will be asking on even a further level of focusing. Why speak about, I found it and it's all mine? Wouldn't it have been enough to simply say, I found it? Or, it's all mine? Those questions will be featured in the upcoming triangles that you see within the bracketed section. As we mentioned earlier, the triangles highlight alternative suggestions. Couldn't things have been stated this way, as we just saw in our first triangle? Why do we have all of this piece of Gemara in the brackets? So if you notice, we have a starred note on the side. Let's read it together. Hesber l'sugrayim, an explanation for the bracketed section. Miyad achreim, immediately after the brackets, a Gemara makshe ala tshuva dechadek hotani. The Gemara will ask, will challenge what we just said in the first house marking. We said that each one was making only, in effect, one claim, not two separate claims. That presentation of the Mishnah will be brought into question. That is what you will see after the bracketed section. So if you use your bracket length indicator, that's that vertical dash dotted line, you drop down and you see there the Gemara will ask, Umi motzis amris chale kotoni, can you really say that each one was saying one point when we read them in the Mishnah? Ha, Gemara besochas ograyim, we continue reading our note, and we note that the Gemara within the bracketed section, Beintayim, in the meantime, Mekabelis hatshuva shochadik otoni, accepts the answer that we had in our first house marking. Umazbira, and within the brackets, the Gemara explained, Lomo ha-mishna loy kosva l'shoinus mekutsoros acheros. Why didn't the Mishnah express their claims even in a shorter version? Now, the Gemara in the brackets. V'lisni ani mitzosia. Let the Mishnah state the claim of I found it. V'ano yodana dekula shali. If someone says I found it, does that not imply that he is saying it's all mine? Why was it necessary to say ani mitzosia and add v'kula shali? The Gemara answers. Itana ani mitzosia, had that alone been stated, have amina, my mitzosia, I would have thought that the word mitzosia means ra'asiya. Afagav de la soli yode, b'riyo be'almo koni. I found it implies I saw it. And even without my physically taking acquisition of the item, without physically taking hold of the item, through merely seeing it, spotting it, I acquire. Therefore, Tana Kula Shali, the added expression, tells me, Debir'iyo lo koni, that through mere sighting of the item, I do not acquire. You'll notice we have an internal angular brackets. If you skip them for a moment, the Gemara then raises the suggestion, why not just say Kula Shali? If Kula Shali would indicate to us that through mere sighting you don't acquire it, so that by saying Kula Shali, then I would know that he has taken possession of it, and he's claiming it's all his. What is the necessity of adding ani mitzosia? Within the angular brackets, we have a double starred note, by the way, in the margin, which reads, Sograim elu enom l'shem dilug. These brackets are not really for skipping purposes, even though we just did that. But it's not necessary to skip here. Elo laharois dehatshuva debiria lo kani. What we want to demonstrate with these brackets is that this answer that we just gave, that through mere citing you don't acquire shenilmad meha dekotani kula sheli, from that which the Mishnah added, the expression kula sheli nisheres, that answer sticks till we get down to the next triangle. Within the brackets, there is an attempt to question, to reject the explanation we just gave, but it will not be successful. Now, the Gemara, in the brackets. Could you even think at the outset that had the word mitzosia appeared by itself, that meant just spotting it? Rav Noi says, regarding a posuk, which says u'mitzosa, that word, the asoi liyode mashma, the word u'mitzosa indicates that I already have taken possession of it. The Rashi, you'll notice, u'mitzosa, the asoi liyode mashma vafilu hachi, even though you've already taken possession of it, the posuk is found in the context of hashovas aveda, the restoration of a lost item, ochicha. The posuk describes the mitzvah of returning a lost article. You return a lost article to a fellow Jew to the exclusion of an idol worshipper. Velo tema, and don't think the following. As we continue in the Rashi, we have the next five lines in singular quotation marks, which means all of this is included in the lo tema. Do not think the following. That ki mi'et rachmonav v'kichavim, when the Torah, through the use of the word ochicha, excludes idol worshippers from the topic of returning lost items, hechad olo asoy liyodei d'Yisrael, lo mechayev l'mitrecha lo ulahadura, that as long as the Jew hasn't picked up the lost article, so then he's not obligated to return it. Aval osu liyodei mechayev lachzira davidosu asura. However, if he picked it up, then he becomes obligated to return it even to an idol worshipper. So all of that, don't think. And how do we convey that idea, that we don't make a distinction between just seeing it and actual picking up, but in all cases you do not return to the idol worshipper? From the word umatsasa. So we see that that word indicates something that you have taken possession of already, and not just spotted. The Gemara answers, in, you're right, umatsasa dekra, when the Torah, when the scriptures use the word mitzasa, de osa liyode mashma, that implies something that you have taken possession of already. And we can together glance at the verse that you see quoted in our margin, Devarim Perek Chof Beis Posek Gimel. It says, v'chein ta'ase l'chamoro, this is all in the context of returning a lost item, and thusly you'll do to his donkey, v'chein ta'ase l'simlosoi, likewise to his garb, v'chein ta'ase l'chol avedas ochicha, asher tovad mimenu motzosa, lo suchal l'salem. Any lost article of ochicha, of your fellow Jew, that he lost, and you, matzasa, you found it, and as we have just explained, matzasa means you've taken possession of it, you've picked it up, lo tuchal salem, you cannot avoid returning it, you have to return it. So our Gemara is explaining that the word umatzasa of the scriptures means that you have taken possession of it. Umiu, tana, the tana means in our Mishnah, lishna di almanokat, the tana uses common speech. You have biblical speech, and you have common speech. Umidechazile omar ano ashkachis. And people say upon spotting it, chazi means to see it, upon seeing the item, or spotting the item, people will say, I found it. Viafa gavdelasaliode birbi amakoni. And therefore, using just the word matzasi, I would say it means something that didn't come into your actual physical possession. Through mere sighting, you acquire. Therefore, Toni Kulo Sheli. Therefore, it was necessary in the Mishnah, which reflects common speech, to add the expression Kulo Sheli, the Biri Obiyama, Lo Koni La, to convey the idea that through mere sighting, you don't acquire. So the Gemara asks, now that Kula Shali clarifies that point, that only through physical possession can you speak about acquiring something, Velisni Kula Shali Veloboyani Matsasiya. Let the Mishnah, in presenting the claim, say that each one says, it's all mine, without saying Ani Matsasiya. The Gemara says, E Toni Kula Shali, had his claim been taught simply that as that kula sheli have amino, I would have thought be'alma dekotani mitzosia. Elsewhere, when you see the word mitzosia, b'ria be'alma koni, that through mere sighting you do acquire. Therefore, tana ani mitzosia. Therefore, within our Mishnah, you have the words, the expression ani mitzosia v'hoder tana kula sheli, and together with that is taught kula sheli. The Mishnah Yisera, from the, we'll say, the extra expression ashmeinen, we're telling you the re'io lo koni, that through mere sighting you do not acquire. The Gemara asks, "Umi motzis amris chada kotoni?" Can you really offer that answer, that explanation of the Mishnah that we saw in the first house marking, that each claimant here was issuing one statement? In the chada kotoni response we gave earlier, we said that each one said one phrase, one sentence that. We saw before, Zelmer ani mitzosia v'kula sheli, I found it and it's all mine. Is that really the explanation of the Mishnah? V'ha zeh v'zeh kotoni. And at this point we'll appreciate the diamonds that we had above, and we repeat them over here. But in the Mishnah itself, you didn't have each claimant with one phrase. The word zeh breaks up each one's claims into two separate claims, as follows: zeh oimer ani mitzosia v'zeh oimer ani mitzosia. Each party says, I found it. And then, v'zeh oimer kula sheli, v'chule means etc., v'zeh oimer kula sheli. In looking at the Mishnah, there appear to be two separate claims that are presented. Omar Rav Papa v'itemo Rav Simi Barashi. We have a long answer marking here, and you'll see that this takes you down a number of lines down the top of Omid Beis. V'amri lo kedi, another version is that this answer is given without a name. There are, in fact, two separate cases reflected in the Mishnah. Reisha b'metzia v'seifa b'mekach u'memkar. The Reisha, where each party is claiming, I found it, is talking about an item that was found in a public location of finding something in Hefker, something in what appears to be in a public area, finding an unowned item. The Seifa, the second set of claims, where the second diamond appears in the Mishnah, is a case of b'mekach u'memkar. It's a case of commercial transaction. We look at the Rashi b'mekach u'memkar. Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi commentary, says k'nisiha miyad ploni, where a person is claiming, I bought it from so and so. V'dafka mekach u'memkar hu d'yamrina niachloku b'shvua. And in the case of financial transaction, there alone we would say divide with an oath. The ikolameimar, there's room to think shneim konua ulishneim isratza moicher, that both bought the item, and the mocher conceded or agreed to sell to both of them. When we said only in the case of a commercial transaction, that's to the exclusion of two parties, each one claiming, I wove the garment. The other one also saying, I wove it. Lo, yachloku, there, we're not going to say divided. Devadai chad minai ramoi, who there, you have definitely one of them is a thief. We have a case of two people claiming an item, and one of them is clearly lying. The method of solving that situation is leaving the item outside of their possession until the prophet Elijah comes and settles it. We'll see more about that as we go along in the Gemara. The Gemara continues at the very end of our Omed, Utsricha, and I need to feature both situations. When we have a Tsrichusa, we're essentially telling you that had I taught only one case, I wouldn't have been able to figure out the other. Namely, had I taught the case of two people arguing over a found item, and the solution offered by the Mishnah is they're swearing and then dividing, I wouldn't have known that that's the way to approach a controversy over a sale. And likewise, had we taught only the case of Mekach u'Memkar, I wouldn't have been able to conclude or figure from that the same method of resolution is going to be applied to finding a lost item, finding an unowned item. So the Gemara says, "Utsricha, I need to teach both cases." We continue at the top of Omid Beis. The bow tie shape that you see is featured on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading. Hatzerich lelamed chaluka b'shvua b'metziu v'mekach ha-memkar. The necessity of teaching the division of the item through an oath, both in the case of finding an item and the case of commercial transactions. So that you can see, first we open up with di tana metziah, had we taught only the case of found item. So there we would explain why we do what we do, but I wouldn't have been able to apply the same reasoning to the case of mekach u'memkar. You'll notice a few lines later a dashed underlined avol to serve as a contrast between the case of metziah versus that which follows mekach u'memkar. And likewise, the next bow tie will say, had I taught you just the case of mekach u'memkar, well, I wouldn't have known that that's the method of division that will apply to metziah. Now, why all of this? So let's see in the Gemara. De'i tana metziah have amina. Had we taught the rule of swearing and dividing only in the case of found item, have amina, I would have thought metziahu deramu rabbanan shvuale. In the case of finding an item, there the rabbanan place upon them the need for swearing. An oath is applied in halacha, oftentimes, in order to deter people from lying. People understand that if they're going to swear to the effect of whatever, they had better be telling the truth. A violation of an oath is a very severe prohibition, a severe offense in the eyes of the public. So in the case of metziah, there was a necessity of imposing an oath. Why? Mishum demiri v'amar. People will rationalize, will legitimatize their false claims as follows. I'm going to lay claim to the item where I know my friend is the one that found it. But I'm going to lay claim to it. Why? Chavroi lav midi chosar bo. My friend didn't lose anything in acquiring it. He didn't lay out money. It's a found item, so he didn't lose anything by acquiring that. Ezel itvis, I'll go and grab vispalig bade and split with him, so that even though it's all his, if I end up getting half of it, I'm not causing him a loss per se because he didn't lay out any money for it. So people will rationalize their wrongful behavior in that fashion. Therefore, we say, if you are laying claim to the item, then swear to that effect. If you're laying claim to a found item, then you better swear to it. And that will deter a person that if he didn't actually find it, he won't get involved and he'll let the real guy keep it. But in the case of a commercial transaction where someone laid out money to buy the item, so then that the rationale that we just explained above in the case of a found item doesn't apply. So, therefore, in the case of Mekach or Memkar, I wouldn't on my own have thought to apply an oath before we engage in the division of the item. Let us look together at the Tosfos at the top. Itana Metzia, had the Mishnah taught only the case of Metzia, namely that in deciding their controversy, we make them swear and only then divide. Bishum demoir of Yomar, because he rationalizes and says, Chavroi lav midi choser, the other guy didn't lose anything in gaining his possession of the item. Lekach tofis, therefore the other fellow, the false individual, will come and grab it. Even though he knows that the first guy actually found it, the rabbis place the oath upon them, so that if a person is really the one who's issuing the false claim, will desist, will distance himself. Avol, mekach u'memkar, in the case of a commercial transaction, the leka lemeimar hochi, that rationale doesn't exist. Shim yodea shechavero kono lo avitofis. If a person knows that the other party actually bought it, he actually laid out money, actually bought it, I wouldn't come along and grab it. Umidetofis ba sober shelohu. By the fact that in a commercial transaction, a second party is also grabbing it, it must be that he really thinks it's his. Not based on rationalizing, but in reality, v'nisratza mocher, and that the mocher, the seller, agreed to selling it to me. Kidemasik likamon, as the Gemara explains later on, the case of the commercial transaction where there's disagreement is a case where the seller actually received money from both parties. Emo lo yishova, there I would have thought there's no need to, we're not going to apply an oath, demishum shvua lo yifrosh, because of the imposition of an oath, he's not going to desist. Shrei Sovor, who Lomar Emes, he thinks he's really telling the truth. Chomash Malon, Dafilu Hachi Yishava. And that's the point of our mission, that even so, even though the rationale of imposing a shvua to deter a liar doesn't apply in the case of a commercial transaction in the way that it applied to a lost item, a found item, that is, we nevertheless do apply an oath for prior to division, even in the case of a commercial transaction. Let's now turn back to the Gemara. V'itana mekach u'memkar, had the Mishnah featured only the case of mekach u'memkar, have amino hasam hu deramu rabon and shvu ale, there and only there do we apply, impose an oath, mishum demoiri v'omar, because he will rationalize as follows. Chavroi domi koyoyev, va'ano domi koyoyevna. Yes, he paid for it, but I'm also willing to pay for it. Hashto detzricho ledidi, now that I need that item. Ashkele ano, I'll take it. V'chavroi lezel litzrach lizvin. And my friend, okay, he also needed it. He'll go trouble himself and find some place to buy it. In other words, if I end up claiming it for myself and I'm also willing to pay the money, so that the idea of only he suffered a loss and not me, so let him then, after I lay claim to it, my friend, he'll go buy some, find it somewhere else and buy it somewhere else. Since we're talking about items up for sale, that option exists. He can find it in another store. Avol mitzia deleka lemeimar hochi, but in the case of a lost item, or I should say a found item, you can't tell the guy that actually found it, oh, you'll go find it somewhere else. Finding an item is a one-time thing. It's not something that's available in stores, per se, to get something for nothing. You have to find it. So you can't say, go somewhere else and you'll find it there. So aim low, in the case of mitzia, there isn't that rationalizing that's available. So I would have thought there, the person who was claiming it to be his, he must be making a real, believable, actual claim, and there's no need to impose a shvua, tzricha. Therefore, we have to teach the case of mitzia as well. The Gemara asks, in the case of mekach u'memkar, why is there a doubt to begin with as to who is the purchaser? Felechsi zuzi miman nokat. Let us simply see, from whom did the seller receive payment? The one who paid for it is the one that bought it. There's no room for doubt over here. Who is the purchaser? Lo, tzricha, no, it is necessary to present the case of a doubt in mekach u'memkar, denokat mitravayu, the seller actually received two payments. He received payment from each one, from both of them. Mechad midate u'mechad ba'al korche. The payment from one was with consent, with agreement. The other was a forced payment. Velo yodano, and I should say, velo yadinon, we don't know mi hu midaite u mi hu baal korche. Who is the one that gave the payment with consent, and who is the one that forced the payment? In a situation like that, therefore, the issue of ask the seller, who did you sell it to, based on from whom did you receive the money, it doesn't apply. Because, as we just said, the seller received payment from each one. And what is shrouded in doubt is who was the one that the seller conceded to sell it to, and who was a forced situation. And that we can't expect, we can't rely on the seller to tell us about at this point. Let us take a look in the margin at the nosei, the topic heading, with a structural note. The mivneh, do you notice the triangles that begin to appear? Take a bird's eye view before we read our note. You'll see number one right over here, Lemo Masis in the Loke Ben Nanos. A few lines later, you'll notice number two, where it says Lemo Masnis in the Loke Kisumchus. And then on Daf Gimel, Omid Aleph in the upper quarter of the page, you'll notice Lemo Masnis in the Loke Rebbe Yossi. Now, let us read the note. The triangles represent Sidra, a series, Shel Nisyonis. Three of them. Levarer im mishnosenu. Does our mishnah toyemes lemispar tanoim besugyos acheros? Does it correspond, or can it be authored by various tanoim in other sections of the shas, other gemaras, other situations where financial doubt arises, and they have their methods of solving those financial disputes? Can our Mishnah conform to their approach? Now, what we've done, we've listed the three different topics The first one, Chenvoni al Pinkoso. The second one, Shor Shenogach Por Venimtsa Ubro Batsida. The third, Shnayim Shivkidu Eitzel Echad. Now, a brief introduction to the three topics. Our goal is simply to acquaint you initially with the topics ahead of time, and then in Mirtz Hashem, as we go into the Gemara, we'll make reference to them again. The first topic, Chenvoni al Pinkoso, concerns a case where an individual had hired workers, and he wanted to pay his workers, so he made an arrangement with a Chenvoni. A Chenvoni is a store owner. A store owner that he's on good terms with, and he tells the Chenvoni, he says, when the workers need to be paid, you pay them, and I'll reimburse you. And the workers were instructed to collect their payment from the store owner. The time comes, they finish their work, and the Chenvoni claims that he paid to the workers. And therefore the balabos, original party in question, now owes money to the Chenvoni for having complied with his request, with his instructions to pay the workers. So the owner, the Chenvoni says, I paid them. The workers, on the other hand, claim, we never got paid. We finished the job and we never got paid. What are we to do? So the rabbis, the Chachomim, who disagree with Ben Nanos on that topic, the Rabbonim say that the Chenvoni swears that he paid out the workers and can then demand payment from the Balabos, from the one who hired them. The workers swear, we never got paid, and can demand their payment, their wages from the Balabos. Can we agree, though, that in a situation like that, one of them is definitely swearing falsely? You can't have both the Chenvoni correct and the workers correct, so one is definitely swearing falsely. As a result, Ben Nano says, I can't have a situation like that, where we create a situation that there's going to be a definite false oath taken. So Ben Nanos, in saying, I cannot accept a situation where one is definitely swearing falsely, would not seem to parallel our Mishnah, where the two parties, each one claiming that they own the entire thing, they're both swearing. Now, they can't both be right. And yet, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, both can swear. So that would seem to be unlike Ben Nanos. The next approach, the next triangle that you'll see in the Gemara, concerns another area of financial doubt, which says, Shor Shenogach Poro V'Nimtsa Ubro Batsida. A cow was gored by an ox, and after the goring took place, it was noticed that there was a miscarriage, a calf that was lying dead by the side of the gored ox. What is not clear to us is, did the cow release in its miscarriage of the calf that unborn calf as a result of the goring? Hence, the owner of the ox must compensate for the loss of that fetus. Or did the cow possibly miscarry before it was actually gored? So there's an element of doubt. The approach taken by Sumchus is that Mamon Hamutal Basafik Chokin below Shvua, that's the language we'll see in the Gemara, a matter of financial doubt that is such a matter of doubt is divided between the two parties without an oath, no swearing. In our Mishnah, we have a matter of financial doubt, but there is swearing. So it would appear that our Mishnah is not like Sumchus. The third scenario featured by the Gemara, and that's on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, is there are two parties entrusted money by a third party. One of the parties in reality entrusted $200, and the other party entrusted $100. However, both parties claim that they are the ones that entrusted the $200. Reb Yossi's approach to that doubt is that neither party gets anything. All of the money is left until Elijah the prophet comes and reveals who is telling the truth, who is the owner of the 200. So as far as Reb Yossi is concerned, when you have a financial situation shrouded in doubt, no one gets their money. That doesn't seem to be the approach taken by our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says oaths are taken and the money is divided. So it would appear that our Mishnah is not like Reb Yossi. So superficially, as you look over our Gemara, it would appear our Mishnah could not be authored by Ben Anos, nor could it be authored by Sumchus, nor could it be authored by Reb Yossi. And in each one of the cases that you see in the Gemara, the Gemara will make a turnaround and say, in fact, our Mishnah could be authored by Ben Nanas. Alternatively, our Mishnah could be authored by Sumchus. And likewise, later, our Mishnah could be like Reb Yossi. How does that happen? Well, of course, that's for the Gemara. So now we turn to the Gemara and start. Number one, Leimo Masnisen Doloken Ben Nanas. Shall we say that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Ben Nanos? In our Mishnah, the two parties are swearing that the talis is theirs, and it belongs only to one of them, so someone is swearing falsely. That, nevertheless, is how we proceed in our Mishnah. That would appear to be unlike Ben Nanos. De'i Ben Nanos. Because if you were to adopt Ben Nanos' approach, his approach was the case of Chenvoni Alpenkoso. I hope you recall the case of the Balabayas, who hired workers to be paid in the interim by a Chenvoni. And Ben Nanos, as opposed to the Rabbanan, did not accept the solution of the workers swearing they didn't get paid, and the Chenvoni swearing he paid out, and both of them receiving compensation from the Baal Habayis. What did Ben Nanos say about that case? Ha'omar, did he not say, Ketzad Elu V'Elu Boyin Lidei Shvua Shav? How could it be that these guys and these guys, when you put the two together, one of them, either the workers or the store owner, is swearing falsely? And yet, in our Mishnah, both opponents swore. The Gemara says, "Afilu tema ben nanos." You can ascribe our Mishnah even to ben nanos. Hosom vadai iko shvuas shav. There, in the case of the workers and the store owner and the chenvoni, one of the two parties was definitely lying under oath. Hocha, in the case of the Mishnah, Ika lemeimar daleko shvuas shav. There is room to say that there isn't a false oath. Emor detravayu bahadi hadovi agbua. There is room to say that both of them picked up the found article simultaneously. If they both picked it up simultaneously, and they're each one is saying that they don't have in it less than half, so we in fact divide it after they swear, each one getting a half, so that neither one neither one swore falsely. As far as the case of the sale, Rashi points out, it could be that the store owner actually agreed to sell it to both of them. So, with that in mind, our Mishnah could in fact be authored by Ben Nanos. Let's continue in the Gemara. Lemo masnisen delo kisumchus. Let us say that our Mishnah is not like Sumchus. What case did Sumchus address? He addressed the case of the goring ox and subsequent miscarried calf found by the side of the poor, of the mother that was gored. De'i kisumchus, if we were to assign our Mishnah to Sumchus, ha'omar, but did not he say? Did he not say, moman amuta basofek chokin b'loy shua? Financial doubts, financial matters that are shrouded in doubt, the solution is to take the amount, divide it without any swearing. The Gemara, as we have it marked, you'll notice we have a bracketed section. The starred note on the side reads as follows. So Graham, the bracketed section is l'shem dilug, is for an initial skipping. Deha, demuvo achreim, that which appears right after the brackets, havisim hasheela, the lema delo sumchus, is a continuation, a culmination of the question that we're asking right now. We didn't note at the outset, but what we have here is a long question marking, the question being, shall we say that our Mishnah is not like Sumchus? Because Sumchus himself had said that where you have a matter of financial doubt, division takes place without swearing. And now to concretize this question, let's skip the brackets initially and continue reading. Hashta uma hosam, mind you, over there in the case of the goring ox. Delo tafsi travayu, neither one of the parties is holding on to anything. There, what is the matter? It concerns the payment for that miscarried calf. Cholkin b'loy shvua, the amount is divided without swearing. So there's a division that takes place in a situation where neither one is holding on to the item in question. Division takes place without swearing. Ocho de travayu tafsi lo, here where both are holding on to it. Both have a clear share in it at first glance. Lo kol shekein, all the more so, division should take place without any swearing. Let us now go back to the bracketed section. We suggested that our Mishnah is not like Sumchus, as we saw the way he dealt with a sofek in Momon, a doubt concerning finances. He mentioned division without swearing. In the case of Shor Shenogach HaSapora, there was an opposing opinion there, the opinion of the Rabbonan. In that case of the goring ox, they didn't say the value of the calf is split between them, and that the owner of the ox will pay half the value of the miscarriage. What did the Rabbanan hold? The Rabbanan held that the owner of the para, of the cow, that wants payment, he, in order to get money, will have to bring proof that the miscarriage was a result of the goring. Their method of solving the financial doubt was what we call hamotzi mechaveroi olov haraya. If you're trying to extract money to change, let's say, the status of the money, the possession of the money from party A to party B, he who is trying to change the status has to bring proof to his claim. We don't see that approach in our Mishnah either. So that in suggesting that our Mishnah is not like Sumchus, you make us believe that it would be like the Rabbanon who argue with Sumchus, but that's not true either. So now let's read in the brackets. V'elomai Rabbanon. So are you saying that our Mishnah is not authored by Sumchus, but it would be authored by the Rabbanon who disagree over there with Sumchus? But ho amri ha-motzi mechavero olav haraya. The Rabbanon's method of solving that case of the miscarriage was that the one who wants payment, the owner of the pora, the owner of the cow, would have to bring proof to his position. That's not like our Mishnah either. Why then are you suggesting that our Mishnah is merely not like Sumchus? Hi, my. How can you compare the two possibilities? I amrs bishlamo rabbonon. If you say that our Mishnah is like the Rabbonon, we can explain the difference. Hasam delo tafsi travayu. There, in the case where you didn't have both in possession, only one was in possession, and contrary to what we said before, only one was in possession of what? Of the money being claimed. In other words, only the owner of the shor, of the goring animal, was in possession of the money being claimed. There, Amri, Rabbonon Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. He who is trying to extract the payment, he has to bring proof to his position. Hacha, the Travayu Tafsi. Here, in our case of Shnaim Oichsin Betalis, where both are holding it, and you don't have one who is taking away from the other, both are equally holding onto it. Palgi Law Bishvua. The Rabbanan will agree with what our Mishnah says, that division takes place with an oath. Rashi says, Bishvua Palgila, the Rashi that we're looking at, you'll see in the middle of the wide lines on the lower part of the Rashi commentary, Bishvua Palgila, Kevon Demechser Guvaina, Bamashe Chavero Itoifes, since the piece that my friend is holding, I haven't yet collected for my claim. The high tofis bekula, the high tofis bekula. Each one is holding on to the entire portion that they're holding. Lo kindlu le rabbanon lo simoman mechezkaso bichti. So the rabbanon will tell you that we're not going to change the financial status of possession for naught. Means for nothing. Just like over there, where someone is the sole possessor of it, the other party has to bring proof. Here, where both of them are in complete possession, both are the whole talus is held by these two people together. In order to make a division, here hitzrichum shua, they would impose an oath. So the circumstances are different. And hence, the Rabbanon who over there said, in the case of the goring ox, where only one was in possession, there he was possession of his money, the other one would have to bring proof in order to extract the money. Here, where both are in possession, a different solution is introduced, namely, a division with an oath. That is as far as the Rabbanon. That their opinion is understandable, insofar as they could be the author of our Mishnah. However, Ella, we continue in the Gemara, Ella e Amris Sumchus, if you're going to try to suggest that our Mishnah is in accordance with Sumchus, Hashtuma Hosam Delo Tafsi Travayu, Cholkin Beloy Shvua, in that case where you don't have the two people both in possession of the money that's in the pocket of the shore owner, and yet Sumchus was willing to divide money that was in the sole possession of one, divide it, cholkin below shvua, divide it without any oath needed. In other words, he was willing to take away half of the money from someone who was in possession of it, divide it without imposing any oath. Here, where both are in possession of the talis, both are in possession of the finance in concern, lo kol shekein, all the more so, division would be imposed according to sumchus without a shvua. Just to repeat the point, if according to sumchus we're willing to take away possession of something, in the case of the money in the pocket of the ox owner, we're willing to take away half the money in question without imposing an oath, where both are in possession, certainly we would divide without an oath. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice here the response is going to be in stages. And we have a diamond marking on the side under the Mivneh heading. This is explained. You have diamonds that are labeled Aleph through Gimel. These are Gimel 3 Nisyonos Lenasi Slamid Mishnah Senu Kesumchis. Attempts to set up our Mishnah, in fact, like Sumchis. Diomar B'shor Shenoga Chasapora B'nimtza Ubra B'tzida Dabe Momon Hamuto B'sofek V'cholkin B'lo Shvua. He said over there where you had a matter of financial doubt, division takes place without a shvua. Our Mishnah could agree with Sumchis, even though our Mishnah speaks about division with a shvua. How can we resolve these two cases and say both are in accordance with Sumchis? The Gemara continues. Afilu teima Sumchis. Ki omar Sumchis. When did Sumchis say division without a shvua? Shema b'shema, where both parties were arguing from a position of uncertainty. How exactly when did the miscarriage take place? Neither party was sure. The owner of the ox was saying maybe it took place before the goring. The owner of the cow said maybe it took place after the goring. Avol bari o bari lo amar, but where both parties are claiming claims with certainty, like in our Mishnah, the talis is all of mine. The other one says the talis is all mine. There, Sumchis would not have said division without an oath, so that our Mishnah could be in accordance with Sumchis. However, Ula Rabba Bar Rav Huna Diomar Omar Sumchis Afilu Bori Ubori Mai Ikol Abeimar. According to Rabba Bar Rav Huna, he says, he's an Amora, commenting on the Tana Sumchis. He says that Sumchis holds his position, namely division without a Shavua, even with both parties claiming claims of certainty. So, my Ikola Meimar, what can you now say as far as our Mishnah, where both parties are making claims of certainty, and division is only with an oath, with a Shavua? Afilu Teimo Sumchis. Even with Rabba Bar Rav Huna in mind, our Mishnah could be authored by Sumchis. Ki omar Sumchis echa di'ika droro de mamona. Sumchis said his point of view of division without a shvua is when you have droro de mamona. In our introduction to today's shiur, we saw in under Ois Hay, if you recall, at the bottom of Omid Aleph in the edition that we copied onto the bottom of the Gemara page, under Ois Hay, we saw a case of financial doubt which arose independent of the claims made by the individuals. That's a case of Droro de Mamona, namely, we, objectively speaking, don't know when the miscarriage took place, regardless of the two parties claiming what they claim. So in a case where there's a Droro de Mamona, there's division without a Shvua. Aval Hecho Deleko Droro de Mamona. But in a case where the doubt is a doubt that results only as a result of the claims, the parties involved, they created the doubt, so there we do impose an oath. The Gemara asks, logically speaking, the reverse should be the case, namely, or to the contrary. Here we raise a question, that continues till the fourth line from the top of Gimel Omen Aleph. Long question. V'lav kal v'chomer hu? Wouldn't kal v'chomer logic lead me to a contrary conclusion? Uma hosom ti iko droro demona lamor. V'iko droro demona lamor. Mind you, in that case, where you have both parties are subject to this description of Dvoro de Mamona. The Ika Lemema, we continue at the top of Dav Gimel Amen Aleph. The Ika Lemema Kulo Lamor. The Ika Lemema Kulo Lamor. There is room to suggest that it belongs entirely to one or entirely to the other. Omar Sumchas. Nevertheless, Sumchas says, "Momana muta besafik cholkin below shvua." The finances that are shrouded in doubt, we will divide without an oath. I repeat, even though the claim is entirely this one or that one, yet Sumchas says we're going to divide without an oath. Here, where there's no inherent doubt, the iko lemeimar de travayu hi. It could be that the talis in fact belongs to both of them. That is there's a possibility that both are in possession, are both owners of it. Lo kol shekein, all the more so, division should be imposed without any need for an oath. So how in the world can you suggest that our Mishnah, which says division is with an oath, could be like Sumchas? Afilu Tema Sumchas. No, our Mishnah could in fact be authored by Sumchas. Shvua Zu, the Shvua referred to in our Mishnah, Midorabonani, it's a rabbinic enactment. Namely, in truth or in principle, the Mishnah, according to Sumchas, the division really should have taken place without a shvua, as we just demonstrated logically. But the rabbis felt a need to impose a shvua, and this is of course something Sumchas would have agreed to. Why would the rabbon in our talis case impose a shvua? Ki the Rabbi Yochanan, based on Rabbi Yochanan, the Yomar Rabbi Yochanan, shvua zu takolas chachomini, the shvua spoken of here is a rabbinic enactment. Shelo yehei kol echad ve'echad heilech v'teikev betalisa shechaverai v'yoyimer sheli hu. So as to deter the public from grabbing, from taking hold of someone else's item, claiming it's mine. How do we deter people from doing that? By imposing an oath. People don't want to swear falsely, so that if someone is willing to swear, that would show us that he must be telling the truth. And hence, if you have two people swearing, then we will divide the talis. As a result of the Takanas Chachamim, so as we said, the public will be deterred from grabbing someone else's item, claiming it's his. What have we seen then in the last section of Gemara? We opened up with triangle number 2, suggesting that our Mishnah is not like Sumchas, and who said in the case of Shor Shenoga Chasapar V'nimtza Ubra B'tzida Cholkin V'lo Shvua, and yet our Mishnah says division with a Shvua. So we had three diamonds that we saw. Three stages in which each at each point suggesting that our Mishnah really could be authored by Sumchas. However, we saw after stage Aleph, it was brought into question that the answer given, the resolution given in Aleph, so that led us to the resolution of stage Beis, and we raised a question on that logic, and we arrived at stage Gimel, where we conclude that our Mishnah could in fact be authored by Sumchas, with the recognition that the Shavua of our Mishnah is a rabbinic enactment. Lema, we're now at suggestion number three. Lema, Masnisen delo k'Reb Yossi. Shall we say that our Mishnah could not be authored by Reb Yossi? Reb Yossi spoke of the case where two people entrusted money to a third party. One, in reality, had entrusted $200 and the other $100. However, when the claims were placed, when the claims were made, each one of these parties said, "I'm the one that entrusted $200. The Rabbonon, who appear in opposition to Rabbi Yossi, have their solution. And at this point in the Gemara, the thinking is that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi, but it's like the Rabbonon. But we're going to bring that into question later. But what is the Rabbonon's solution to that case? The Rabbonon say that that as far as the two parties are concerned, each one of them entrusted at least $100. In other words, the party that entrusted $200, $200 contains within it $100. So the Rabbonon say we can give both parties, each one, $100. There's the third $100 that is in question. The third $100 meaning we took the $200, gave each one $100, so there was the extra $100 of that $200 deposit, that $200 entrusting that is the subject of controversy. So the Rabbanan say that third $100 remains by the shomer, by the one entrusted with it, until the prophet Elijah comes to reveal who the real owner of that third $100 is. Reb Yossi, in hearing the Rabbonon's solution, says, where in their solution do you have any deterrent to the thief? One of these two guys is, for our purposes, a Ramai. He's a conniving, untrustworthy individual, claiming $200 when in reality he entrusted only $100. But if you're going to follow the Rabbanan's approach, he's getting back his $100. He's just taking a gamble on making a claim of an extra $100. Maybe he'll get it. But at the end of the day, according to the Rabbanan, he's not losing anything. There's no deterrent in the Rabbanan solution. So what does Reb Yossi come up with? In a case like that, no one gets their money back. Leave all the money in the possession of the shomer. Because otherwise, what loss is there to the Ramai that would motivate him to come forth with the truth? Don't pay. Because at this point, as far as Reb Yossi is concerned, by depriving both of them of all their money, the thief isn't going to risk losing even his $100 by trying to claim an extra $100 that wasn't his. As we turn to the Gemara, take note of the fact that here too we have a long marking, a long question. The question being, let's read the Gemara, Lemo Masnisa Delo k'Reb Yossi. Shall we suggest that our Mishnah is not like k'Reb Yossi? D k'Reb Yossi, for if you were to think that our Mishnah was in accordance with Reb Yossi, Ha'omar, but Reb Yossi said, how do we solve financial doubt when you have two opposing parties? He said, in response to the Rabbonon, he says, Im Cain, if so, like your approach, where each party got a sum of $100, Mahib Sid Ramai, what does the thief stand to lose? There's no deterrent if we give $100 to each one of them. Rather, the entire sum shall remain entrusted by the third party until Elijah comes. So too, as far as Reb Yossi is concerned, we would say, let the talis remain unowned by both parties. Namely, leave it aside, leave it in the court. Now, we skip the brackets, and here we take the same approach as we saw earlier when we presented Sumchas, and let us complete the logic. Demonstrating how our Mishnah could not be like Reb Yossi. And after the brackets, we pick up, Hashto uma hosom de bavadai iko mono lamar, vikol mono lamar. Mind you, over there, in the case of the entrusted money, where both parties definitely have a mona. Mona is $100 was entrusted by each party. Omer Rabbi Yossi emuno chatshio velio. Rabbi Yossi says neither party gets even that which is definitely theirs. Leave it all aside. Ocho, in the case of the talis, the iko lemeimar dechad minayuhu. Here, there's room to think that the talis is exclusively only one of theirs. So lo kol shekein, all the more so, it should be left aside until Elio comes, and not any division like is suggested in our Mishnah. Now let's go at this point. Then we've strengthened the suggestion that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi. We are giving you the feeling, though, that okay, it's not like Rabbi Yossi, but it is like the Rabbanan. But that's not accurate either. So let's now go over the bracketed section. The Elomai Rabbanan, our Mishnah, which speaks about dividing the talis between the two with the shvuah, are you suggesting that's like the Rabbanan over there with the money entrusting? Kev on the Amri Rabbanan, the Rabbanan there said Hasha'ar Ye Munoch Hashiyov Elio. The Rabbanan conceded that the third hundred, the sum which was the subject of the controversy, both had entrusted a minimum of 100. One of them entrusted a little more. He entrusted 200. It's that second hundred of the 200 which is the sum in controversy right now. The sum in controversy, the Rabbanan said, that is not given to the parties. That's left aside. That's munach, left lying until Elijah comes. Well, honami, the talis, the entire talis, kishar domi disfekohi. It's like that third hundred. It's the sum. It's the item in controversy. How did the Rabbanan deal with items in controversy, with sums that are controversial? They said, yehei munach. According to that approach, then our Mishnah would not be like the Rabbanan either. Why are you then saying that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi, giving us room to think not like Rabbi Yossi, but yes, like the Rabbanan? No, it's not like the Rabbanan either. The Gemara says, hi, my, how can you compare the two? E amris bishlam Rabbanan. If you want to say that our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, bishlam, things will work out. Hosam devadai hai mono dechad minayu. In the case of the entrusted money, that third hundred is definitely one of theirs. It's not shared. It's only one entrusted that additional hundred. There, amri Rabbanan yehei munach ad sheyavo Elio. Let it be left aside until Elio comes. However, in the case of the talis, the ika lememar, there is room to suggest the travayu who, that it belongs to the two of them. Amri Rabbanan palgi b'shvua. The Rabbanan will say, in a case like that, we're not going to say yemunach. Let's divide it, because that's a possibility of the truth of the reality, the division. So we divide with a shvua. Elohi amas Rabbi Yossi hi, but if you're going to suggest that our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Yossi, that's impossible. Hashtu ma hosam de bavadai iko mono lemar viko mono lemar. There, in the case of the entrusted money, where 100 belonged without any question to each of them, 100 to this one and 100 to that one, and even that amount, Omer Rabbi Yossi muno chachav elio, it is not given to either party. It's left aside. Ocho, in the case of the talis, the ika lemeimar dechad minayuhu, the reality might be that it belongs to only one of them. Lo kol shekein, all the more so, it shall be left aside without any division. In other words, just to repeat, where money that's coming to you, Rabbi Yossi says, you can't have. Where something that's not coming to you at all, certainly Rabbi Yossi would say, Yehi munach, let it be left aside. So it would appear then that our Mishnah could not possibly be like Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara responds, Afilu temo Rabbi Yossi. Hasam vadai ika ramai. Our Mishnah can conform to Rabbi Yossi. Over there, where Rabbi Yossi says everything is left aside, you have a situation where there is definitely a thief. There is definitely a trickster involved. Ha-ha, in the case of our Mishnah, is it at that same level of definitiveness? Same level of certainty? Mi emar de'ika ramai? Who is to say that there is definitely a thief here with the talis? There's room to say that both of them picked it up simultaneously. Inami, another resolution. Hasam kunis le rabbianai, Rabbi Yossi le ramai, ki hechi delodi. There, Rabbi Yossi says no one gets anything in order to impose a fine on the thief in order that he should come forth and admit that he entrusted only 100. Hacha mai pseido is le delodi. Here in the case of picking up a found article, let us say one is the true finder, the other one simply wanted to grab it to get a piece of it, and he really has no right to it. What loss would he experience by our saying no one gets anything? That would not motivate the phony in the case of the found talis to come forth and admit. He didn't have any of it in the first place, and now that we're saying you can't have anything, he's not losing anything. He didn't have any of it in the first place. So that by saying Yehei Munach, you're not motivating the phony to admit. Teinach Mitzia. This distinction applies to the case of the found talis. Mekach u'memkar mai iko lememar. In the case of a sale, and we said that our Mishnah did feature a case where there was controversy over to whom was the item sold, and both of them put money down. Let us in fact say, let the item be undivided so as to have the phony come forth and admit. And yet our Mishnah doesn't say that. But that would have been Rabbi Yossi's approach, where you have a Ramai, you have someone that stands to lose something, leave it all aside. Elo machvarta kidishonin meikora. Rather, it appears if you want to set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi, do so by following the first approach that we have labeled as number one. There, in the case of the entrusted money where there's a definite thief, everything is left aside. In the case of our Mishnah, where you don't have a definite thief, we divide with a Shvuah, making the Mishnah possibly like Rabbi Yossi as well. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice that we have a long question, and there's a response to it in the form of a long answer. In the last discussion that we featured under triangle number 3, we saw the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yossi dealing with a situation where there was a Ramai, where there was a thief, there was an underhanded party involved. According to both the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yossi, there was a certain level of agreement that where there's a Ramai involved, the amount under question is left aside, is not divided out. Let's just repeat. Where there is a thief in the picture, there is someone underhanded in the picture, the amount under question, at least that, is left aside, is not divided out. We're now going to take those opinions, the Rabbonin and Rabbi Yossi, that both appeared in that third, in our third triangle situation of the entrusted monies, take their approach to matters where there is a thief, and now apply that to the case of triangle number one, the case of Chenvoni al Pinkoso. In the case of Chedvoni al Pinkoso, the Rabbonon there, it's a different Tanaic opinion. The Rabbonon there said that the workers swear and get their wages from the Balabais. The store owner swears that he paid out to the workers and gets his money from the Balabais. Could we not agree that between the workers and the Chenvoni, one of those guys is telling a lie? And yet, both of them, the workers and the store owner, got their full payment from the Balabais. In other words, the Balabais had to pay out, I'll say twice the amount, the full amount to the workers and the full amount to the store owner. One of them is either store owner or workers is telling a lie, and yet he's getting paid. There's no deterrent factor, according to the Rabbonon, in the case of Chenvoni al Pinkoso, in the case of triangle number one that we had before. In triangle number three, in the case of the entrusted monies, both Rabbonon and Rabbi Yossi agreed that where you have a liar, we have a deterrent element built in, that the amount under controversy is left aside. So now our Gemara says that bein the Rabbonon u bein the Rabbi Yossi, whether you hold like the Rabbonon that said the 300 is left aside, is not given out, or Rabbi Yossi says the entire entrusted money is left aside and not distributed. Hasam gabi chenvoni al pinkoso, looking at the case of chenvoni al pinkoso that we had featured in triangle number one, dikotoni, there the Rabbonon say, it's taught there, zenish bavenotel vazenish bavenotel. The workers swear and get paid from the Balabais. The Chenvoni swears and gets paid by the Balabais. Maishno de lo amrinon, why there do we not say nafke lomamona mi Balabais, take the sum in question from the Balabais. Let us say the agreed amount was to pay $500 to the workers, and that $500 would have been laid out in the interim by the Chenvoni. Take $500, one sum of $500, from the Balabais, v'yehemuno chatshiov elio, and put it in some type of, well, escrow account. The $500, let neither the workers nor the Chenvoni get that money. Deha bevada iko rama. Here you have a definite thief laying claim unjustly to the $500. And yet, that's not the solution over there. Amri, the Gemara answers, we don't have to say that the case of Chenvoni and Pinkoso stands in opposition, couldn't be, let's say, accepted by Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon here in of triangle number three. There's a difference. Hosam hainu taimo. There in the case of Chedvoni al Pinkoso, the reason that both parties get paid, the workers and the store owner, is as follows. Each one, the store owner, has a solid claim against the Balabais. The workers have a solid claim against the Balabais. As follows. Di Amri le Chenvoni le Balabais. The store owner says to the Balabais, Ano shlichuso di doch ko avdino. I carried out your instructions. I function as your agent in paying the workers. My isli gabi sochir. What dealings do I have with regard to the workers? Even if those workers were to swear to me that I didn't pay them, lo mehem only b'shvua, I don't believe them with their shvua. I don't accept their oath. At hemante, you trusted them. De lo amris li, you never told me b'sahadi hav le, pay them in the presence of witnesses. You trusted them as honest people. I don't. I don't accept their oath. V'sochir nami, omar le balabayas, the workers as well, claim to the balabayas. Ano avdi avidito gaboch. I did the work you had hired me to do. Mayisli gabi chenvoni, what connection do I have to the store owner? Afal gab de mishtav ali, even if he were to swear to me that he paid me, lo mehemonli, I don't trust his oath. He's not someone I trusted. Hilkoch travayu mishtabi, therefore both the workers and the chenvoni swear to the balabayas. Vishakli mi balabayas, and get their payment from the balabayas. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.